Hello, everyone. Welcome to Church Day. We welcome everyone to come worship God today. I believe that everyone has seen a lot of war movies. So when we see that, especially those movies where they show the war scenes, let's watch this PowerPoint today. When we want to attack the castle, there are two ways. The first is to use a huge lumber to hit the door, like this. Use a huge lumber in the hopes that the wall collapses. Another way is to make a ladder like this. You want to use the ladder to get to on the top of the wall so that you can be inside their castle. However, today we will look at the story of Jericho, which is very different than the two ways that we described. Why? Because Jesus did something miraculous. So today, our sermon's theme is called Miraculous Foresight. We all know that after Joshua, the Israelites, they crossed the Jordan River, and their first war is try to overcome the Jericho, city of Jericho. Well, we know that the city of Jericho is very hard to conquer. Let's see the graph of city of Jericho. There are two walls, double walls. The royalties constructed the city really well, and the royalties, they are living inside the inner city. This graph is constructed based on what historians told us. And the second wall, the outside wall, who's living inside of that, it's just peasants, common people. Do you remember? Rahab, the prostitute, she lived on the outskirts of the city. So we can see that maybe people with lowly social class, they lived closer to the second wall, the outside wall. And we knew that the city of Jericho, their wall is as tall as 9 inches. So it's really hard to conquer. However, Israelites, under the leadership of Joshua, they truly believed the promise of God. So they act in unity, and they were willing to obey God's will. Because God told them that I'm giving you the city of Jericho. So with God's promise, all the soldiers were infused with confidence and followed God's will. What God said? God said that they have to have 7 priests, like this. Those 7 priests need to carry 7 ram's horns and carry the Ark of God, to followed by the armed troops. And every day, they need to march around the city. When they were walking, they cannot make any sound. They could not communicate with each other. Every day, they need to walk one time, and on the 7th day, they need to circle the city of Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th time, the priests need to blow the ram's horn, and the followed armed troops behind them were shouting, very loudly. And something miraculous happened because the whole city of Jericho collapsed. It collapsed. So the Israelite troops charged inside the city of Jericho and they won. I bet we never heard of anything like this throughout history other than this. And according to the historian, the 20th century, inside the ruins of the city of Jericho, about 1,400 years ago, they can tell that the walls really collapsed. Why? Because they can find many household items inside the houses. For example, the pots, the pans. So it's very obvious that those walls collapsed. So that it was easy for the Israelites to come in and conquer the city. Let's turn our attention to Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 to 16. On the seventh day, they got up at the daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So you can see that they were doing everything according to the God's plan. They were leading the whole troops and the peasants according to the God's will. And the real commander is Jesus. Of course, the commander on the ground is Joshua. However, Joshua did that according to God's will. Brothers and sisters, let's imagine if you were one of the Israelites. Imagine every day you walk around the city of Jericho and you could not speak with each other and with so many others. That you could not speak even a single word. It's really hard to do. However, we can see that all the troops and the people of Israel were acting in unity. Whatever Lord said, they did. This is the reason why we're reading this. And the first lesson we're learning is to 100% obey God's command. We cannot dilute the promise of God. We cannot make any sound. No matter how many people were there, God said no sound, then no sound. It's really simple. If we follow God's command, we will be blessed. Please remember, this is the first lesson we need to learn. As long as we're willing to obey, from personal level to a collective level, the obedience will bring God's blessing. We can tell. Because Israelites obeyed, they were able to get into the city of Jericho. And gather this win. Let's once again look at this graph to see what truly showed God's wisdom. Why do we need to study God's wisdom? Because the more we know, we have more faith in God. That easy. So let's see. The first God commanded for seven priests. Please understand, the number seven in the Bible represents wholeness, completeness. Second, the seven priests must hold seven ram's horns. Number three, the priests were carrying the ark of God, moving ahead. Let's think back, everybody. In Joshua in the past,
the Ark of God represented the presence of God. So it's important that seven priests who were serving God were carrying seven ram's horns, because that represented God's presence. And number four, all the soldiers were following behind, silently. Number five, each day they encircled the city once. And on the seventh day, number six, encircled the city seven times. And when the priests blow their horns, number seven, all the soldiers must shout loudly. The wall will come tumbling down. So let's pause here for a second. If you were one of the troops inside the Israel army, if you were following the priests, circling around, you cannot make any sound. Every day you make one round. And on the seventh day, and towards the end, when God commanded you to shout, do you know what will happen? Maybe you don't know. Not many people know. Not many people knew what would happen. Everybody very wholeheartedly followed God's command. That simple. Like a little kid relied on his father. Whatever the father said, the kids do. It's a very simple thing. And when they shouted, even if I were inside of them, I would be surprised too that the wall collapsed. It must be really grand. Imagine all the castle in front of you guys. It crumbled, not just one part of it, not an area of it, the whole castle collapsed as soon as everybody shouted loudly. Imagine that. If you were one of them people, wouldn't you be moved as well? The faith at that moment, the faith would be unimaginable at that moment, because we witnessed the amazing acts of God. This is the first war after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River. Why God did that? Because God needs to show that his power, his magnificence, not only to the Israelites, but also make them see how much power and authority God has, but also to show everybody at the city of Jericho. How could they ever imagine that this unbreakable castle would collapse? How would the royalties inside of the inner city, imagine. The royalties would know that, you know, the outside, the peasants, they might die. But they would never imagine that when the Israelites showed up, shouted loudly, that all the walls collapsed. Imagine the kind of morale the Israel troops had. This showed the miraculous acts of God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the God we trust. Back in the days, he showed himself, and today, he will still show his miraculous act. Praise the Lord. This is the Lord we trust. Let's keep reading. Joshua, chapter 6, verse 17. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to God. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. Do you guys remember the story of Rahab? Because back in the day, Rahab, the prostitute, hid the spies sent by Joshua. And they had a promise with each other that when you guys came to the city of Jericho, you have to protect Rahab and her families. So So what do we see? We see that the Lord really honored the covenant that he protected Rahab the prostitute, but everybody else were devoted. Let's keep reading verse 18 to 19. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go to his treasury. The first thing we see is that you cannot take the things that to be devoted. If any Israelite took that, they would bring destruction to the whole camp of Israel. Very severe consequences. And second, that everything from the city of Jericho, all the gold, all the silver, they need to be dedicated to the Lord. Why? What are the meanings of those two comments? First, is to warn the people of Israel to obey the command of the Lord. Do not take things that were not meant for them. Let me tell you why. Because the Lord does not want the Israelites to commit idolatry. Idolatry. Because we know all the tribes outside the Jordan River, they all commit idolatry. So Lord does not want the Israelites to commit to idolatry. Do not take the gold and silver, and do not take all those beautiful clothes. And the second thing, well, some people might ask why the gold and silver were dedicated to Lord, because, you know, Lord does not need it. Some historians believe that this is because this is the first battle, everybody knows, in the Old Testament, when Israelites have their harvest, they need to commit that to the Lord, sacrifice that to the Lord. So a lot of historians believe that because Israel relied on Lord to win the first battle, just like the first harvest of the season, so they had to commit that, sacrifice that to the Lord. And, you know, all the other silver and gold after this first win can be distributed among Israel. Once again, this is 1,400 years before the Lord, and it's very rare for people to have one or two set of clothes or some gold and silver. It's not like nowadays we have abundant supplies of clothes and gold and silver. Back in the days, it's not easy. So we have to understand that the cultures of Israelites is kind of behind because they were slaves in Egypt. Unlike the culture here right now, that they have abundant clothes or gold and silver. So imagine if you're one of the Israelites, if you saw all this gold and silver, you'll be like, wow, this is amazing, and I'll take it home. This is common for human beings. So let's put ourselves in their shoes. Then we can understand that why Lord commanded them, do not take those things. All the gold, silver, and bronze belong to the Lord. But if you ask her, you finish the Joshua, all the other gold and silver in the future wars, Israelites took all of them. So we might ask another story. What's the relationship between today's Jericho story and us? Because let's go back to the miraculous foresight. Our Lord is amazing. We need to study His wisdom. Because the more we know Lord's wisdom, the more we will understand where Lord is leading us in terms of our work, our life, and why Lord is acting the way that Lord does. That's why we need to study God's wisdom. Just like children, the relationship between children and parents. The closer you are with your parents, the more understanding you will have for them. Like me as pastor and the people who serve on our church team. So this is a parallel of why we need to study God's wisdom. And at the same time, we have to admit that we only see limited stuff. We might care about our work, our family, our health, our kids. So our mind is limited to the things around us that matters, which is understandable. However, our God has limitless vision. He is faster than even the fastest computer on earth. His vision is more than all the elite intellectual combined on this earth. That is to say that God controls everything. For both the seen, visible and invisible. Only our God is this unique, because His way is above our way, and His will is above our will. Our Lord is not only in control of this world. He's controlling everything in the spiritual realm as well. So the Bible tells us, with man, this is impossible. With God, all this are possible. Because God's wisdom is so much more above us. He is too wisdom, too wise for us to understand and fathom. Brothers and sisters, understand that we belong to God. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? The God who has so much power and authority is our Father. Only when you understand His wisdom, you will feel so blessed and fortunate. You will feel so blessed your children are baptized, because we are very blessed and fortunate. And I don't know if you noticed that or not. Some people believe, decide to turn to God when they face difficulties. After they exhaust the human wisdom, only at those moments people turn to God, to prayer, to rely on God. So the end of man is the beginning of God, right? This is a very wisdom saying, because so many people during their testimony are really saying that I'm so good, I'm so obedient, I have such a smart brain, I'm very agile, I'm so good. So many people are very proud in their heart. However, no matter how good you are as humans, you are limited. This is very important, because there will be an end for human wisdom. This is what God is telling us, to humble ourselves. If we understand that we're limited, when we bow our head to worship majestic, most superior God, God will extend his hand and help us. So please, everybody, this is the reason why humbled hearts are easy to know God. No wonder Apostle Paul, he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let's read it together. Paul said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All things God works for the good of those who love him. I want to stress, in all things. In all things means every single thing on earth that is in control of the God's hand. God leads everything on earth. All things good and all things bad. Especially for us humans. The things we think as bad might not be as bad in God's eyes. Every single thing on earth, no matter how we perceive them, everything God works for the good of those who love him. You need to think about every single word in this sentence. What does it mean? Why does Paul say this? We know that in all things God works for the good. Only God knows how to do it for the good. Nowadays, no matter what intelligent computers or artificial intelligence, they cannot compare to God's wisdom, because everything in this world, visible, invisible, everything, God is in control. This is the Lord that we trust. So, Lord is all-knowing. He can turn even the things we think as not good to the things that are beneficial for us. Let me stress this again. Lord can turn everything, even our eyes as not good, to things that are good for us. This is the wisdom of God. What is the purpose of God doing this? Because so that he can do those for the good of those who love him. Our life needs to be matured, needs to be nurtured, needs to be added on for strength. So that Lord is helping us to grow. So that we can see what's beyond the visible. So we can understand Lord's will. Especially, we need to practice the gentleness, humbleness, kindness, and perseverance of our spiritual life. So, no matter for us as individuals or groups, God has his way and his timing to all of us. Think about this. No matter the testimonies you heard or your personal experience, while I was preparing this sermon, I have a lot of requests, a lot of asks. Everybody, we know this example. 2 years ago, our youth minister, Taylor, Brother Taylor, for him and his wife to lead our youth group. But because he had to graduate from the seminary, he God called him to another church to serve. And then we encountered the pandemic. But fortunately, we have David Ja, Brother David Ja, to help us to lead the youth group. He is very hardworking and has the heart to help up our youth group for about 1 year. Of course, we started the search process from a long time ago. Who can speak English. So I want to give a shout out. Thanks to all the committee members on this search committee. All their time, their efforts, and their prayers to help make this work. This next weekend, we will have a candidate. I reviewed his candidate. We think that it's very fitting for our church because he used to live 4 years in China. He's familiar with Chinese culture. So please, everybody, keep praying. Keep praying. Because we know if this is the person that Lord brought to us, we can feel. We can feel the Holy Spirit, and we will be very happy. And we will contact this candidate so that this person can come visit us and share with us so that we at a church can know him better. I want to stress one thing. Did you notice that the attendance for the youth groups have been very steady? Before, we don't have as much. But especially the past 2 and 3 months, the youth group attendance has been very steady. All glory to God, because our Lord is always working. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that. Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. So let me ask you, if Jesus said this, if Jesus is still working besides God while he's working, so for us, we have to work too. We have many opportunities to serve, such as spreading the gospel. So the most important thing we need to do is to act in faith and unity. Let me stress it again. Faith plus unity. Faith is the faith in God. Unity is the unity among all of us. If we do this, then we will be blessed as a church. If we act in faith plus unity. So everybody, please, seek the leadership of God. Because this is God's church. So we have to act according to God's will. If we do so, we will be blessed tremendously. Another thing I want to report to you all is that I went to Bowling Green. I've never been there. This is my first time in Bowling Green. We drove 2 hours. We will win there. This is the Chinese division within a big American church. The most important thing I went there is to encourage their service. There were 4 professors who devote themselves throughout the years. They were very excited too because I brought them gifts and that boosted their morale. I was very happy too. Mrs. Fan was with me too. When their attendance can be up to 40-something. So I thank God for this opportunity to share with them. I also shared with them the Happiness Station, the YouTube videos that I create on a daily basis. Especially now, I have another series called Get to Know God. Those videos that I create are short, under 5 minutes. And they find it very helpful.
I also had a chance to participate in their WeChat group for the Bowling Green Chinese Fellowship group. They used to have 84 people in this WeChat group. Bowling Green have about 70,000 people. They don't have many Chinese people there, though. There used to be a big company who hired Chinese people, so now they don't have many. They heavily rely on the university there that has some Chinese professors there. So they need me to encourage them. There used to be 84 people in this WeChat group, but however, some people went back to China, went back to Taiwan. So this WeChat group is pretty dormant. After I went there, I shared the good news of my videos and shared them in the WeChat groups. Eh? Who would know that these videos revived their group? The good thing is that it still has the gospel in the videos that I shared. Because I prayed a lot on how to create those videos so that everybody can feel that we can use those videos to connect the people who are seeking God. There are some Chinese teachers at the local high schools, and I shared this video with them so that they can share with their students, their English students. Once again, because of the Lord, me and Mrs. Fan had the chance to share with them. So maybe in the future, I will try to visit them every 3 months. This will be my blessing and my joy. They probably see me, a 70-year-old, drove 2 hours there, very passionate, very excited. I think they're encouraged too. Praise the Lord. We are family within the Lord. Let us work for His glory. The next part, I want to share an important scripture with you all. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, this is what Paul said. So I want to let you know why I want to share this with you, because Paul experienced God. He has a close relationship with God. Paul has a really deep understanding of Lord's wisdom. So I want you to read this with me. Let's read it together. Please, while read, think hard on this. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him, through Him, and for Him are things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Especially verse 33. After Paul has a close encounter with God, only Paul has an opportunity to do that. However, Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and kindness of God. Paul cannot fathom the riches of God's wisdom. He said, oh, depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgment. Very unfathomable, right? Because He is this miraculous God. Our little brain, our limited wisdom cannot search or fathom Him. We are created by Him. Not only did He create us humans, He created everything in this universe. Not only did He create, He manages all of the operations of everything on this earth. Amen. This is our God. So
The more we know God, the more helpful it is for us to strengthen our faith. No matter how severe is this virus, we are not afraid because God is with us. Am I right? So it's really important to know God's wisdom. So this can humble our heart. So we can work together to glorify our church. This is our blessing, everybody. Please help. So this really shows that his wisdom. Let's read verse 36. For from him and through him and for him are all things. Right? For him. What's that mean? Let's look at the Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the declaration of Jesus. I am Alpha, Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come. Pay attention. What is it? The Almighty. Who is, who was, who is to come? The Almighty. That means he can do anything. He can do everything to show his power, authority, and his leadership. Imagine that. This is the Lord we trust and depend on. How blessed are we? If we can know the Lord better, our wisdom can be increased. We won't be limited to our human wisdom. We can try to understand his majestic nation. We need to pay attention to Lord's behavior from a higher standpoint, because today our churches have to act upon Jesus' heart. Let me say this again. We have to have the vision of the whole nation of Jesus so that this can help us to be Christians with depth. Let me stress this once again. We have to have the vision of the nation of Jesus. Please, Lord, lead us to have the depth of your wisdom. Not only do we care about the children and the youth, we also care about the future of God, because this is the importance here. We have to create the disciples of God to be wisdom, to be strong. Let us act together in unity to follow this. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your unfathomable wisdom. We are totally obedient in front of your throne. We ask for your will to help honor us. Please add on to our faith, our heart, and our dependence on you. Please also, Lord, help us strengthen our heart and add on to our bravery so we can act upon your will, so that we can win all the battles because we depend on you. All glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.